Welcome to the Muslim Woman in Finance podcast with your hosts, Lisa and Amira. I'm Lisa. And today we have a special guest that will be, we're so excited to have join us, and we're going to be talking about investing. So Amira, you can go ahead and read Sister Rizwana's bio.
All right. So Rizwana Abid is an investment advisor representative at Sharia Portfolio. She holds an undergraduate degree in environmental economics and a master's degree in public policy from UC Berkeley. Rizwana's previous work experiences have extended across nonprofit sectors and academia, where she's contributed to research, policy analysis, and program evaluation capacities. In addition, she's also taught undergraduate and high school level economics courses for several years. And while investment advising wasn't Rizwana's primary calling, it did evolve into one of her passions ever since she took on the task of educating herself on the topic of halal investing and discovered there's an array of confusion and misinformation surrounding it. And as an investment advisor, Rizwana's primary goal is to guide and educate her clients by sharing her knowledge and helping them navigate their critical financial decisions with clarity and confidence, which is definitely something we need right now. So she currently resides in San Francisco Bay Area and represents Sharia Portfolio's clients in California and beyond. So assalamu alaikum, Rizwana. Thank you and welcome to the podcast. We're really excited to have a conversation with you today.
Walaikum salam. Thank you so much for having me here. And I'm excited to be here and have a conversation with y'all.
That's great. So we'll just kind of dive right in. Tell us a little bit more about what you do with Sharia Portfolio and what kind of sets a Muslim investor apart from others.
Of course. Yeah. So as I mentioned, I am an investment advisor representative at Sharia Portfolio. And my job really entails, you know, working with clients one-on-one as a investment advisor. So, you know, from the moment, you know, we have a prospect interested, you know, in learning about investment and, you know, deciding, you know, what kind of investments would be good for them. So, you know, we, you know, talk to them about, you know, try to understand and learn about their, you know, risk tolerance, their kind of long-term goals, you know, what kind of time horizons they have in mind. And after doing all of this, you know, what we're really trying to do is, or, you know, my part really is, you know, trying to come up with an investment plan for this individual, right? Because every person, every investor that comes in is going to be different from the next person. So, you know, there are so many things to consider when creating an investment plan. And in these conversations, you know, I am really trying to help them figure out what investment style, you know, might be suitable for them, what account types might be suitable for them based on their objectives and risk profile. And, you know, once we have these conversations and they have some clarity in their mind with regards to the type of accounts and investment they think might be suitable for them, then, you know, after opening an account, we also keep in touch with them and, you know, monitor those portfolios on a regular basis to make sure that, you know, they're, you know, maintaining the standards that, you know, we set out for it to maintain. And of course, you know, as Muslims, I think a lot of things, you know, first and foremost, I think really sets a Muslim investor apart from other investors is that, you know, a Muslim investor has to adhere to halal and Sharia standards as a requirement, right? In other words, one can only invest in companies and funds that are aligned with Islamic principle. And, you know, we must steer clear of a host of forbidden goods and services, which are known as haram. And I'm sure you both know that the, you know, list includes, you know, it's lengthy and it includes industries such as alcohol, gambling, weapons, tobacco, pork products, adult entertainments, etc. Right. And in addition, it also prohibits investments in traditional fixed income securities to avoid riba or interest, and also avoids highly leveraged or interest bearing businesses. So, you know, inshallah, you know, that's what we're trying to do here at Sharia Portfolio. It is our job to ensure that, you know, all of our products are maintaining the Islamic principles and the investments, you know, adhere to these rules.
I was curious to know, you know, before working at Sharia Portfolio, what type of resources and courses did you look into to kind of learn about Islamic-based financing on your own? And then what kind of resources did you learn on the job? You know, did Sharia Portfolio train you specifically on certain things that maybe you didn't know about? If you could touch on that.
Absolutely. As I mentioned, I did have to do some of my own research before even thinking about coming into this career, because it was a bit of a personal journey for me and my husband when we started to talk about a couple years back and started to think about our financial future here in the US. You know, we kind of felt that, you know, it would be very difficult to be able to kind of conform to our values, you know, anytime, you know, whether, you know, it means contributing to employer-sponsored 401k plans, you know, thinking about education savings for children or home purchase, right? It's that it just felt like it would be very challenging for us to be able to conform to our personal and religious values in going the traditional route. So I really took up on the task to educate myself on the topic of halal investing and really try to figure out, you know, what was allowed and what is not allowed. And I think one of the books that really helped me was A Muslim's Guide to Investing and Personal Finance in Accordance with Sharia. This is a book by Monaim A. Salem and Virginia B. Morris. And it's a really great book that gives you sort of an introduction to all of these different things, you know, like Islamic principles, investment basics, you know, stocks, mutual funds, you know, personal finance, as we try to understand it from the Islamic lens. So I thought that was a great sort of leaping point for me to sort of like get an understanding of the field of Islamic finance. And of course, there is always continuing education, you know, like even in Sharia Portfolio that we are getting, you know, training on different topics, you know, with regards to purification, how to calculate zakah, and all these things that, you know, we have to basically make sure that we are learning on a continuous basis. We really try to make sure, you know, education is at the core of everything that we do here at Sharia Portfolio, you know, be it educating ourselves or, you know, trying to educate our investors. So that is definitely something that, you know, I'm continuing to do, and I have much more to learn. And, you know, at different times, I will also lean to other resources. I think Islamic Finance Guru is one of those resources that I have really leaned on from time to time, because they do really provide a, you know, try to do a really great job of providing like very comprehensive lists and research when it comes to Sharia compliant investing, you know, like especially here in the West. And so I think that would be another resource that was like really helpful for me.
That's great. Thank you for sharing those names. We'll actually go ahead and put those resources in our show notes so that our listeners can also take a peek at those and do some of their own learning. And I could appreciate with any industry, I feel like the continuing education constant, like we are learners for life, right? And things are constantly changing. And I can only imagine it's the same in investing as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I think about, you know, my parents' generation when they came here, and you know, some of the families, you know, getting a job, working more than one job was really important just to stay afloat and paying rent or mortgage, covering the bills, providing food and clothing to children, and also just living in areas where educational institutions were of good standards. But I think gone are the days of just keeping your money either under your pillow, in a piggy bank, or even in the bank. And that's why investing is so important. But I think for women, it does become a bit difficult in the sense that we don't get that education in the public school system or even in college. And then what happens is when you go into the workforce, you know, if you become go through your 4 years of college, get a degree, and then you join the workforce, the first couple pieces of things that you have to do, one of the first things you have to do is set up, you know, your tax bracket. You have to talk about retirement and what that looks like for you, select health insurance coverage. So it does become a little bit overwhelming. And again, those are things you kind of learn on the job, or you ask your parents, your friends for advice, but there isn't really like a set booklet to kind of help you walk through those things. And another thing that I always hear is that, oh, it's just too expensive to actually invest. You know, I don't make a lot of money, therefore I can't put away enough money to invest. So I'm curious, you know, what do you think of that? Because I know you were saying, you know, every client has a different risk portfolio or risk tolerance. How do you go about navigating and helping a client, you know, pick how they can invest and how much money they can put aside?
Yeah, absolutely. Is a great question. And, you know, definitely something, you know, worth considering. And I just wanted to touch upon the part, you know, where you said that there really aren't enough resources that we are provided at high school level, or even going to undergraduate levels, right? That, you know, you get this kind of education and knowledge about, you know, how to think about, you know, how to structure your personal finances starting at a very young age. And once we get into the workforce, we're then given all this. We have to think about retirement planning. We have to think about, you know, having an emergency fund. We have to think about all of these other ways to really handle our personal finances. And I think that is something that can, that is really problematic. And I think that is something structural and institutional that really needs to take into account. You know, there's an opportunity to do that starting in high school levels and college level. I had a really great epiphany in, I would say, in college when I was able to take a course in personal finance, really, and that really opened my eyes to see, you know, how taking on loans will become like a burden for me after graduation, and how to think about planning for retirement, you know, the investing as early as possible and getting started as early as possible. Those are things that, you know, as you mentioned, we hadn't learned in our families, especially coming from a first generation immigrant family. Those are definitely not some of the things that, you know, our parents had the resources or the mindset to think about. So I definitely think, you know, if somebody, anybody has a chance to take or have an opportunity to take this kind of courses in college, I would definitely encourage them to do so. Going back to your point about how we do that, you know, when we have a, you know, any sort of client that, you know, comes to us and, you know, they will talk to us about how to prioritize their financial planning future. As I mentioned, the first and foremost thing is to have that initial conversation with them where we're really trying to figure out where in their life they are right now. Are they somebody who is close to retirement? Are they somebody who is young and, you know, just getting a jump start in their investment journey? You know, what is it, you know, what are their goals that they're trying to kind of achieve with this kind of investment? Because somebody who is, you know, old, you know, maybe closer to retirement, we will have a very different approach for them compared to somebody who is starting out young. Because, you know, if you are somebody who is starting out young, you would be able to take advantage of the time factor so much more compared to somebody who is starting later in their life. So there are different graphs that will show you that, you know, if somebody were to get started with, you know, even saving $100 a month in their 20s versus somebody, you know, who is starting at the age of 40 and trying to contribute two times, three times as much over the span of their year, they wouldn't be able to catch up to the person who started, you know, early on, just because of the compounding factor of how money grows. And so for, you know, if this is what we are really trying to figure out, you know, in terms of, you know, like their time horizon, their life situation, their attitude toward risk, and all of this really play a part in creating what we call an investment plan, right? Because, you know, if you are getting started early on, you have a much longer time span and you can take a lot of risk in your portfolio, right? So the kind of assets that we would put in your portfolio will look vastly different than somebody who is, you know, closer to retirement, because and we don't want to assume too much risk in those type of portfolios. You know, this is what I think we try to assess and, you know, understand by asking about a client's tolerance and capacity for risk. We also have sort of like an questionnaire that we will, that kind of helps us understand some of these qualitative aspects of a client's background as well. So, you know, we will share that questionnaire with them after an initial conversation with them, and then we will come back and have another conversation with them and make sure they're really kind of on board with what we're recommending or suggesting for them. And as you mentioned, it really isn't about, you know, it's not that investment is something that is expensive. There are so many different tools that are available on the market right now. There are robo-advisors, online platforms where you can get started with as little as $100. And, you know, the point is that the earlier you can get started with investing and getting your feet in the market, the more you'd be able to take advantage of that compounding growth of time. So, you know, don't feel discouraged or kind of dissuaded by the fact that, you know, it is too expensive for you, because, you know, it's really not. If you can put away $100 a month toward your retirement planning, I think that is a goal that, you know, we can all strive for. And, you know, it will provide you with a great return, you know, when it's time and when you approach retirement.
Yeah, you know, I think what's really different from, for example, I'm going to circle back to the generation of my parents, is that they didn't have these high student loans. You know, presently, it's just very expensive now. When you look at the budgeting of people, student loans have to be accounted for, rent and or mortgage has to be accounted for, and just even the location where you live in. So is there a minimum to open an account with Sharia Portfolio, a minimum amount?
So yes, there is. So there are two tiers of services that we provide, actually. So our robo advisory service, which is, you know, basically giving clients access to a digital online platform. And this is, you know, ideal for clients who are starting with a smaller portfolio, or, you know, they're just, you know, in the early stages of accumulating their savings. And this would be a great solution for them, because, you know, it's giving them access to an online investment portal where we take care of the portfolio management, but their financial life is not necessarily so complicated that they need to work with an investment advisor one-on-one, right? Our service and our minimum investment amount for getting started with this express service, as we call it, is only $1,000. If you have $1,000, you can get started with this service, and, you know, you can set it up to be, you know, as with frequent transfer, or, you know, you set up a lump sum amount that's, you know, going into your account at whatever frequency you decide. And all of the different accounts that we provide are available in this express platform. So this is really a great tool, because, you know, it allows you to start investing at a much lower cost, but also at the same time giving you access to the world of investing. So I think if anybody is concerned about not having had too much savings, because, of course, as you mentioned, there are so many different aspects of finances that we have to deal with these days, you know, ranging from mortgages, you know, credit card bills to student loans, I would suggest that, you know, if you have a little bit of cash that's sitting in your bank account, and, you know, that's not necessarily doing anything for you, because, first of all, the interest rate is so low that, you know, it doesn't really earn anything for you. And, you know, of course, you know, as Muslims, you know, it's considered riba. And, you know, it's haram to receive or, you know, pay interest for Muslims. So if you have, other than setting aside some money for an emergency fund and, you know, meeting all of your needs, if you still have some money that's left aside, I would suggest that make sure you are taking care of your retirement planning first, because that's key. There are loans that you can take for home purchases. There are loans that you can avail for, you know, going to college education savings or, you know, sort of, for college. But there are no loans for, you know, retirement. So I think if anybody are listening and, you know, they think this would be applicable for them, go for a IRA account, right, which is an individual retirement account, if you can contribute up to $6,000 per year. And depending on whether you want to pay taxes now versus you want to defer the taxes and pay them, you know, when it's time for retirement, you could choose which type of IRA you want to contribute to. But the first thing is to get started and take care of your retirement planning as soon as you can, because I think especially for women who tend to outlive men by quite a lot. And so I think for women, it's even more important to make sure that they are involved in financial planning and they're taking care of their financial futures.
Yes, and also for women, a lot of women are not getting married, or they have to take care of their families, like their parents and siblings, or they may be single moms. So it's really, really important for them to have a financial portfolio that works for them. I also wanted to just point out that with investing, I mean, you can have certain goals, for example, going to Hajj or Umrah. And you can use your investment accounts to help save for that lifelong goal, or even purchasing a home. Say you want to purchase in 5 to 10 years, you can use that investment account to help save and make a big down payment on property.
Yes, absolutely. As you mentioned, you know, any kind of big goals that you have in life, an investment account is great for that, right? So, of course, you know, when it comes to retirement planning, you know, it has to be in a retirement specific account. But for any other type of purposes that you mentioned, you know, home purchase, you know, going for Umrah or Hajj, all of these things is where investment can really help you. If you have a little bit of time, you know, you're planning for, you know, 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, saving that money in a retirement account versus, you know, putting it in a savings account would really serve you a great deal, because stock markets, you know, tend to produce on average 9 to 12% annual return every year. So of course, you know, it's an average. It's not going to be the same every year. But even with our portfolios, you know, if you are maintaining sort of an aggressive portfolio with us, where you have, you know, much longer time horizon, and you're able to take on a little bit more risk. So that means there would be more allocation of individual stocks in your account compared to, say, Sukuk or fixed income, those components. I think for those kind of aggressive portfolios, our annual target for return is 9 to 12%. So they can really serve you in the long run, where this is not something that you'd be able to experience in a savings account, perhaps.
Right. And I think just encouraging, especially our Muslim sisters, to think long term, to think the, you know, to remember that the benefits of compounding is actually where you're going to see an increase in profits, and as well as trying to have a set amount that you're investing monthly, for example, and that would be based on the income that you have, where you can give. So those are just really important keys to how to invest successfully. There are some naysayers, though, who are saying, you know, the stock market is just based on riba. And so I'm just curious, you know, what your thoughts are on that, and also on purifying any gains that might not be permissible.
Yeah, absolutely. So riba, Yes, of course. You know, that's why we don't participate in bonds, because bonds pay a fixed income, which is considered, you know, usury, that fixed income component where, you know, you're getting paid, where money is just increasing in value only due to the fact that, you know, the time is elapsing, right? There is nothing else that's contributing to that, the value of money increasing. So that's definitely not permitted in Islam. And that's why we stay away from bonds and we don't have bonds in our portfolio. However, we have the Islamic counterparts to bonds, which are known as sukuks, and they're Sharia compliant investments. And they're different than bonds in the sense that they're backed by an underlying tangible asset. And the asset is what is typically generating a revenue. And the sukuk holder is given partial ownership of that asset, and you are able to earn a percentage of the revenue. Therefore, it's more of a partnership or leasing kind of agreement as opposed to a debt obligation that you would see with a bond. So that's why bonds are not Sharia compliant. However, sukuk and stocks are Sharia compliant, obviously, because it's they represent ownership of a business. And you know, if you are essentially taking part in the profit of the business, because you're sharing those risks, the businesses are sharing the risk with you. So stocks, common stocks, as we know them better, are allowed in Islam. And of course, as you mentioned, purification, that is something that we do for all of our investors. Purification, as you might know, it's the process of cleansing an investment, because the idea is that we're not operating in Muslim countries. We're not operating in countries where, you know, there is Sharia law here. So what the scholars understand is that none of the investments that we, none of the companies that we're investing in would be 100% halal. So we follow the guidelines by IOFI, who are considered the gold standard for halal investing. And in their guideline, they have set it up in such a way that only 5% of a company's income, total revenue, can come from these non-permissible sources that we kind of touched upon in the beginning. So all of these industries that we can take cannot take part in, only if 5% of the total revenue is coming from those sources, then it's permissible. Otherwise, of course, it's not permissible. And so because we have this sort of 5% leeway, we have to make sure that we are cleansing the investments and, you know, getting rid of any income that is being earned from this non-halal sources. So this is something that we do for all of our investors. Even our ETFs, we will provide a calculation for shareholders at the end of the year, you know, and come Ramadan time, we make sure that, you know, in all of our portfolios, we're doing the purification calculation. And we also help clients, you know, with resources for zakat calculation on their investment and non-investment assets as well.
Sharia portfolio has two stocks that investors may invest in. One is a REIT in regards to real estate, and the other is an ETF. I was just wondering if you would talk a little bit about those two stocks available.
Yeah, absolutely. So those are two ETFs that we are offering. So it's one of our affiliate companies, SB Funds, that launched these three Islamic ETFs over the last 2 years. The first one that you mentioned is SPUS, which is basically a Sharia compliant US equity ETF, and it tracks the S&P 500 Sharia Industry Exclusion Index. And basically what that means is that we have taken all of the only the halal companies from the S&P 500 index, and we have created an index that's basically tracking the performance of all of those halal companies, right? And the SPUS consists of approximately 200 stocks from these 500 companies that are in the S&P 500. And it's a great, great kind of product for investors who might be interested in getting the benefit of diversification, but they don't also want to incur a lot of costs. Because as you probably understand, you know, investing in individual companies can be risky. So if you have $1,000 and you invest in one or two companies, right, you're not getting a lot of benefits of diversification because, you know, as we kind of understand, you're putting all of your eggs in one or two baskets, and that's considered too risky. So with real estate, if the idea is location, 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 in investment, it's diversification, diversification, diversification. And so the ETFs really do a great job of, you know, collecting all of this different or bringing all of these different companies together. And then, you know, it's a fund of composite funds that's sort of tracking the index. It's very low cost because it's passively managed. So we're not necessarily trying to beat the market or the performance of the market. We're, you know, essentially saying that let us be the market itself, and, you know, we will just track whatever the performance of the index is. So yeah, I think it's a great ETF product for anybody that's looking to have some equity or stock exposure in their portfolio. And the management fee is only 0.49%, and it's lower than any of the other halal ETFs available in the market. And our performance since inception, it was launched in December of 2019, has been quite phenomenal. It has had a return of 26% since inception. So I would encourage anybody, you know, interested to go in sp-funds.com and, you know, read more about our ETFs if you have the chance. And actually, there are two other products that we have. There is also the Sukuk ETF, and this is actually the world's first Sharia-compliant fixed income ETF. We launched also in December of 2019. As I mentioned, the Sukuk is a financial certificate similar to a bond, but that's something that is Sharia-compliant. And it really offers a lot of diversification benefits for fixed income investors. So because, you know, we as Muslims, you know, cannot participate in bonds, the Sukuk is a great asset to have in your portfolio. And because this is not interest-based, it is also less sensitive to interest rates in the market and offers great downside protection.
Rizwana, thank you so much for all that information. I just wanted to say it was great to have you on. Amira, did you have any final comments?
So I think this was a really great overview. And Rizwana, I appreciate you coming on and giving us this information. And you are in our Muslim Women in Finance Facebook group. So beyond that, is there anywhere that we can reach out to you if we want further information, guidance, and to have a conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you're always welcome to email me. You know, my email is rizwana@shariaportfolio.com. Or, you know, if you are interested, you know, I would leave, you know, our website, shariaportfolio.com, for anybody interested to take a look at that. Or, you know, I'm always available on the group, you know, if anybody is interested to reach out through Facebook message or anything.
That's great. All right, we'll use that to wrap it up. We'll see everyone next time, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
We want to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you for taking the time out of your day to listen to our show. Feel free to reach out to us at muslimwomenandfinance@gmail.com with any thoughts, comments, feedback, or questions. We would love to hear from you. And you can also find us on Instagram at hashed.fine, F-I-N, and at Amira E, and join the Facebook group Muslim Women and Finance. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and please leave us a rating and review. Thank you.